Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
I'm just going to share with you something from my heart, something from the Word of God that the Lord has put on my heart. And I think it's the most important message that we can take from Easter. Because if we're honest, we can get caught up in the fun stuff, the bunny rabbits, the cupcakes we're going to give you in a minute. That makes you stay so you don't leave early. You don't get the cupcakes if you leave early. But we can't forget what it's really about. And I think there's this perception to just make it all about God. And that's good. Like, don't get me wrong. We're crying out, He's worthy. But it's not just about God. It's about what God did for you. It's about you, and it's about me. So I just want to share with you for a few moments. I had a grandfather. I say had because he passed away. Mom, how many years since Papa passed away? 6 years? Wow, six already. That's crazy. I had a grandfather who was very near and dear to my heart. He taught me how to play golf. I still suck. I don't know if he's a great teacher. But it was fun. He loved me. He'd pick me up from school with a chocolate milk and a coffee crisp most days of the week. That's why I've had 19 cavities at 35. But he loved me, and he was so good to me. And we lost him about 6 years ago. But he wasn't perfect. He was Irish. I'm Irish. He was an immigrant from Northern Ireland. He literally came over on a boat. That's how long it was, how long ago it was. He tells this crazy story of how he had never seen a building more than two stories high. Because you got to understand, his family was very poor. He had six siblings. In third grade, he had to drop out of school to become a potato farmer, which in Ireland is about as low as it gets. And he did that, and he worked hard. He was a great, hardworking man, and he met my grandmother while she was engaged, and he straight up stole that dime piece from another man. And I'm not sure how Christian that is, but he did it, and my mom is thankful, and so am I. Or I wouldn't be here right now. And he got married, and he said, Isa, that was her name, said, I'm getting on a boat, and I'm going to Canada for a better life. And he married this woman, and then he ditched her. And he got on a boat. Is this true? True story? And he came here, and he did that. He worked hard to set up a better life, and then he went back and got her and brought her here. And he set up a great life, and he worked really hard, you know, and he became a successful businessman, and he did really good. He came from nothing, third grade education, to being very successful, and he did great, and he was so good to me. But if you know anything about Irish people, there's two things really to know. I was going to skip over the first one because it's church. But normally they're not sober. That's number one. He didn't drink at all because he was a good Christian. But number two is that they are cheap, man. Are there any Scott Irish people in here? Y'all are cheap. It's just, it goes in your blood. It's like in your DNA. He was cheap. And I remember being 12 years old, and he taught me how to golf, remember? And he takes me to the golf course, and we get up there, and we go do the check-in. I'm excited, man. I love golf. Still do today. And we get up to check in, and he goes, okay, Ryan, now pay the man for your golf round. Papa, I'm 12. I don't have a job. Child labor isn't legal. Like, how am I going to pay? You didn't bring money? Well, guess you're not golfing. Hop in the cart and come for a ride. And I didn't golf with him. And I was so sad that day. And I was like, really, man? Like, I wanted to golf. And he was teaching me a lesson. But truthfully, he wasn't cheap. He was actually really loving. And he did this beautiful thing. I promise this story is taking us somewhere. He did this beautiful thing. He opened up a savings bank account for me. And every single year, at the end of the year, he would give me one of these bad boys. Man, I tell you, if you ever need the attention of a Christian crowd, just bring a $100 bill. the heads go up. Y'all stop playing Tetris and texting. And I hope he's a prosperity preacher and we all get one, you know? And he gave me a crisp, clean $100 bill. They weren't plastic back then. They were paper. Anyone remember paper bills? You know, you actually had to take care of them. These things are like indestructible. And he would give me one of these every year. And then he would teach me how to go to the bank and meet the bank teller. This was a thing, believe it or not. I'm really dating myself. There was no photo deposit. And I'd go to the bank teller, and I'd so proudly give the lady my 100. And I'm like, that gains interest, right? And she's like, yeah. And I'm young, and I'm 12, and I'm envisioning the yacht I'm going to buy one day from the interest on my $100 and the private jet and what life is going to be like. You know, because, oh, it's 2 years. I got $200. That's got to be 20 grand by now in interest. How many know that's not how it works? Anyways, he had given me the $100 at a family dinner. And my mom, I hope she remembers this story so she can vouch for me. And I put it in my pocket. And how many people know that men are forgetful? Sisters, amen? You can say amen. It's true. We're forgetful. And there's some very kind ladies in here that, wow. I forgot it in my pants, in my jeans. And my mom, being the great, wonderful, hardworking mom she was, she always did my laundry. And she gave me my nice folded jeans one day, and I remember the transaction between her and I, like, yesterday. And it hit me when I saw the jeans. Mom, my $100 was in there. You didn't wash it, did you? And she didn't say anything, and I pulled it out. And this clean, crisp $100 bill, told her, don't take my money, girl. It came out looking like this. But worse, because it was paper. This is plastic. I couldn't even find a paper one anymore. It just looked terrible. And I broke into tears. And I went, Mom, how could you do this? You've ruined my generational wealth. I won't have a yacht anymore. My kids will be poor and they won't go to college because you put my $100 through the wash and through the dryer. And I was wrecked. And my mom is a smart lady. She said, don't worry, son. We'll go to the bank and we'll sort it out. See, she knew something that I didn't know. And I was, Mom, what do you mean sort it out? It's ruined. Look at it. It's destroyed. So she drives me to the bank and I'm just being a miserable little punk of a kid the whole way. And we get there and we go up to the lady and I'm dejected. I'm like, yeah, what's she going to do? You think she's going to trade this for this? There is no way. And she says, hi, Ryan. She's a sweet old lady. And she says, hi, Ryan. Bank tellers back then were all old. I don't know why, what's changed, but they were all old. Never thought about that till now. She was old. And she said, oh, Ryan, no problem. I'll take that from you. And then she did the craziest thing that I never expected. She pulls out a crisp $100 bill and gives me that crisp, beautiful bill in exchange for my wrinkled, shriveled up, dried out, crinkly old $100. And I was dumbfounded. I go, thank you. And I'm out, right? Because I think I'm getting away with a deal. And then I asked my mom about it. And, you know, my mom's been preaching to me for 35 years. She still does. And she said, Ryan, the bank teller understood something that you don't understand. It's not about the condition of the bill. It's about what the creator of the bill will give you for it. And hear me out for a minute. I thought because it was wrinkled up and shriveled up and went through the dryer that it was now worthless. I thought if you really did a number to a bill, you would destroy its worth. I had to go to America to get paper. America. It's only 20 bucks, but that's worth at least 100 Canadian, right? At least. Thanks, Donald. Okay, pretend I didn't say that. She even told me, Ryan, you know you can do something? The cheap people, I went, oh! She said, you know you can tear a bill in half and still go exchange it for a new bill that's not torn? I said, Mom, you're crazy. You're smoking the ganja. There's no way. It can't be that way. She's never smoked the ganja in her life. She's never said a swear word in her life. And you know, She said, Ryan, you don't understand. There's the mark of the Creator on it. And there's two of them. And so long as you still have the mark on the bill, the Creator of the bill will exchange it for a new one. And I couldn't believe this. I couldn't understand it. And it bothered me so much. And then I got older and I started to realize this analogy actually isn't so strange. Because do you know that every single one of you have the mark of the Creator on you? Do you know that you were created in the image of your God? Do you know that you were not an accident? That you are not purposeless? That God knows the numbers of hair that are on your head or lack thereof? He knows it all. And if you still have the mark of the Creator on you, here's the thing. Some of us, we've been through the washer and the dryer of life. Amen, bro. He's got a story, but so do you. Some of us are getting pretty wrinkled up. Some of us are getting shriveled up. Some of us have been folded and crushed and squeezed, and you are starting to believe the lie of the devil that your worth is based on your condition. The story of Easter and the story of Jesus Christ is that your worth is not based on your condition. Your worth is based on one thing. Worth, money, economics, if any of you know how it works, worth is determined by various factors. And there are many, but the most surefire way to determine the worth of something is to look at what would be paid for it, to look at the price paid for it. Those of you who might be looking to buy a house or a condo, one, I hope you got $1 million or you'll be living in a shack. Welcome to the GTA, okay? But if you're out there looking and you're in the market trying to see something, you're not gonna look at the asking price. You know what you're gonna look at? The price that someone paid for a house like that. The truest determiner of value in life is the price paid for something. Do you know this, that there was a price paid for your life? And that price was not cheap. That price was the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. So this world will tell you that you're worthless. This world will get you fixated and focused on your wrinkles and your appearance and what you've been through and all these things and start making you believe, even though you're torn and your marriage got ripped apart, even this world will make you think that because you've abandoned someone, you're torn and now you're garbage. But my friends, your worth is not based on your condition. Your worth is based on what the Creator will pay for. And here's the thing. How many parents are in the room? Let me see your hands, parents. Come on. You know how much you love your kid. I have a 2-year-old kid, and if you asked me, his name's Maverick, if you said, Ryan, you get a choice, you or him, in a half a second, I'm telling you me. Not because I'm some great noble man, because I have a kid now and I know the love of a father. Every single hand that went up, you would make that same choice. You love your child more than you love yourself. God gave his son for you. That's the biggest sacrifice he could possibly give. Wrinkled up, shriveled you, torn apart you, put through the dryer of life you. So you got to understand what you're worth. See, Easter, we love to make it all about God, but Easter actually isn't about God. Easter is about you, and Easter is about me. You know why? Before you shout blasphemy at me, I'll tell you why. Because God didn't need his son to die. You did. God didn't need his son to die. I did. I put him there. My failures, my transgressions. Yeah, I know Eve and Adam did it too, but I can't blame them because I've sinned the same. They ate a fruit. You want to know what I've done? I'm not going to tell you because I won't get on this stage ever again. But come on, the price paid was everything. So this world will tell you that you're worthless, that you're worth nothing. You tell them I'm worth all of it. Why? Because my father gave all of it. My father bankrupted heaven for me. That's what you're worth. Why is that important? We're going to go back to worship soon. Why is that important, my friends? Because this, you will always act in accordance to what you think you are worth. Write it down. You will always act in accordance to what you think are worth. Ladies in the room, single ladies, if you think that you are junk, guess what you will date? Junk. It's a fact. You will always act in accordance with what you think you are worth. But if you think that you are worth the Son of God, you're going to live different. You're going to act different. And if you really believe and accept the price that was paid for you, you have no choice to not just call him Savior, but to also declare him Lord. Because that price paid was too much for us to go around living like we're worthless. Living the way the devil wants us to live. That's the Easter message. It's a message of what you are worth. The truest indicator of worth is price paid. The price paid for you was this, right here, the cross. That's the price that was paid for you. That's what you're worth. So the next time this world tells you a lie that you're worthless, that you're not enough, that you're the tail, you remind them, I'm not the tail, I'm the head. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm set apart. My God stays with me. He goes before me. He stays beside me. He is behind me. If I have him, I will make it through. You have him. You believe in him. And if you have not made that decision yet, John chapter 3:16, this is the last thing. Worship team, y'all can get ready. John chapter 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We've been making it too complicated in the church for too long. There was a character at Easter, the thief on the cross. You ever heard of him? Guess what? He deserved to be there. Christ didn't. But you know what he did in his last moments of his life and Christ's life? He declared his belief in Jesus Christ. And you know what Jesus Christ said to him? He said, verily, verily, you will be with me in paradise. He didn't get baptized. He didn't take communion. These are all great things. These are things we got to do. It's a public declaration of your faith. It's a good thing. But what you need to know tonight, it is your belief that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, that you are dead in your sin, but he came as your Savior. Believing in that changes the eternal trajectory of your life. So if you haven't made that decision tonight, I want to tell you tonight is the night to make that decision. It's the best decision that you could ever make. Would you stand to your feet? Because we're not done yet. We got some more worship, and then we'll get you out of here. But we did save the best for last. And then we got you some cupcakes. What are you worth? You're worth that. You're worth the Son of Jesus. You're the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's what you're worth. What do you deserve? It's 6 feet beneath this ground, and it's what I deserve too. But because of him and what he did, that grave that was meant for us, like Clark sang it, our sins lay buried there. 6 feet deep. And your grave is no longer a grave, it's a garden. It's a beautiful garden of life. Because you've accepted Jesus Christ. And if you haven't, come see me after. See the pastors at the connections table. Mark it on your card. We're going to call you tomorrow. You're no longer dead in sin. Good Friday's coming. You're going to go to church. Then Sunday's coming. You're going to go to church. Saturday is my favorite. You know why Saturday is my favorite? Because Saturday is when Satan and his demons were partying. They thought that it was over. They thought that death had defeated God. But they didn't know while they were partying, God swooped down. And while they were partying, he swooped down and he stole the keys to death, hell, and the grave for you forever. And Sunday was coming. Sunday is coming. And I hope you worship him this Sunday like you worshiped him tonight. because you no longer will dwell in the grave. You'll live in the garden. It all started in a garden, the Garden of Eden. And if you believe in Christ, that's where it will end for you too. In paradise, verily, verily, forever. So let's worship him now. The only one that can take a grave and turn it into a garden. The resurrection king.